Let's open our Bibles this morning to John chapter 3 as we start our lesson this morning. On a life of praise. When you get there, say amen and we'll start. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that scripture verse, when you know, sometimes we need to step outside these walls, and whatever environment you live in or come from, just like that man at the end of these little video snippets that we showed, he said, God has put a big love in my heart for people who do bad things. And he would preach the gospel over these radios that he knew the gorillas would hear. And he said, God showed him that they have a soul too. So I'm telling you, this scripture means more and more. And when you saw even those two that was cut off at the end and it didn't show, but it said Padina, who was about. Padina and her mother are apostates. That's what they said. And they preached the gospel in Iran. And so they've chosen Jesus and they're not condemned. And if you go out, if you take just I did it recently and looked up on YouTube, Muslims coming to Christ, just that, and you're going to see some very interesting things that are being put out on YouTube about Muslims in Iran coming to Christ. They're coming to Christ in droves. The paper's not going to print that. But what you're going to see is they're coming by the thousands. Because, just like this girl said, I did everything. I washed my hands 10 times. I did all of the prayers. I recited all the prayers. And I felt so distant from Allah. And he didn't do anything for me. Because she's a spirit. And a spirit is made to communicate with God. And to be in fellowship with God. And so when you see that some of the YouTube videos show men and women with burqas off and hijabs off and all of these things off, worshiping in basements with their hands lifted, shouting, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And this is going on now in the underground church in Iran and other places. And so they're coming to Christ and they're being preached this word that God sent his only Son, that if you just believe in him, you'll be saved and have fellowship. And some of the testimonies that you see, they said, I have so much peace and so much joy that they didn't get with Islam. And they're willing to risk their lives. They're saying they're going into Mecca and these places where they gather and they're preaching to the clerics. I'm telling you, there's a revival about ready. It is going on, but the world is going to hear about it. See, right now, a lot of it's underground, but it's happening. Amen. And we're excited about it. Glory to God. Turn over to Psalm 34. And let's look at verses 1, 2, and 3. And we we've been spending some time on this particular scripture as a foundation, and then we've kind of branched out from there. I'm going to read from the King James. I will bless the Lord at all times. Well, I'm going to stop and say, are you doing that?
Yes.
Yeah. See, that's a good question right there. Am I doing that? Am I blessing the Lord at all times? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And that word boast, if you look it up, is halal. It's a root word for hallelujah. And that word there is to boast means to rave and to carry on about, to be enthusiastically and clamorously boastful about the Lord. It says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And we've spent some time walking through some of the scriptures, looking at various translations. We've looked at when we praise the Lord, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. We've looked at at the midnight hour. And I will sing aloud upon my bed. And so we've looked at when to praise the Lord. We didn't spend much time, and I may pick that up, as where to praise the Lord. We looked at why we praise the Lord, and we've spent some time there. Spent some time also looking at praise in general, and faith, if it's the God kind of faith, is anointed by the Holy Ghost, but it's also not fear-based. So death and life is in the power of your tongue, and faith, or say it another way, faith always praises God before he acts. If it's a faith-filled prayer, you're going to praise God before you see the results. Because why? You're convinced. You're convinced that he's going to move on your behalf, and you're thanking him, you're praising him for what he's going to do. And we looked at some other scriptures, and we're not going to spend time to look at those, but I am going to pick up today and kind of hook up where we were on Wednesday and kind of continue. Let's turn over to, I want to go to a particular psalm here. Let's go to Psalm 63:4, if we would. Psalm 63. Now Wednesday, what we did was we highlighted some words that were used in the Old Testament that make mention of praise and thanksgiving. And I want to spend a few moments just looking at those and the significance of it. Psalm 63:4, it says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. And that word bless is barak. It means to praise and to salute, to kneel, or to bless. Jump over to Psalm 134. And we're only going to highlight a few of the scriptures. There's hundreds, but we're going to just look at a few here this morning. Psalm 134. I want us to just look at the phrase, lift up your hands. And the word yada, I made mention of it on Wednesday, yada, and also there's a few other words. Yada is one, and todah, T-O-W-D-A-H, is the other. It really means to lift up the hands, the extension of the hands to God. It's the extended hands or the throwing out of the hands. Now, Psalm 134, it says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, who? All ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord." Look at verse 2. "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that hath that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." And that word there, lifting up of the hands, that particular phrase is yada. It means to lift up the hands, extend the hands. Now I know here this says in the sanctuary, but we are what? The temple of the Lord. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Psalm 141. And verse 2, same. Well, let's start reading in verse 1. It says, "Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as what? As incense." So our prayers are like incense to him, and he receives it. "And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." And I believe we looked at scriptures that referenced that the lifting up of our hands and our praise and thanksgiving was like a sweet-smelling fragrance. It was as an evening sacrifice. And so God is not looking for the sacrifice like it was under the law. He's looking for our praise and our thanksgiving to him. That's what he's looking for. Now, let's jump back to 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16. And these are And I'm not going to read, I mean, I could read the whole chapter because it's so good. Whoops, I'm in the wrong chapter. That won't work. Let's look at starting in verse 20. And 1 Chronicles 16. "And when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For what? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are what? In his presence." So let me stop here. When we praise him, and it says he inhabits our praise, then what happens? Glory, what happens? It says his glory, this right here, glory and honor are in his presence. "Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." one of the things that we see and we've experienced here is that we start in praise and may move over to thanksgiving. When His presence manifested, we begin to worship Him. We begin to worship Him, and there's times that we may be prostrate on the floor in worship. And if you've never experienced that, start with praise. Start with praise. Begin to thank Him like this says here. Give unto God, give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Don't give glory to things in this earth that are being highlighted. In other words, make it more plain. God may use things in this earth to meet your need, whether it's finances, whether it's physical. That's okay, but don't give that the glory. Don't give that the glory. Give Him the glory. Give God the glory. Because if it wasn't for Him, none of it would exist. None of it. So don't go and say, well, you know, I got this. It did this. The doctor did this. He may have been used. It may have been used to help you, but you better give Him the glory due His name. Everything is held together by the word of His power. 2 Chronicles 20. You know, some folks, and I know this, it can be very easy, whether you are an individual, a business owner, or even a pastor, you can say, look what my hand did. Fool. You better give God the glory. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and starting in verse 20. And of course, you know the story. This is a wonderful story about Jehoshaphat and the Moabites and the Ammonites and those that from Mount Seir that came out against Jehoshaphat. And in verse 3, it says he proclaimed a fast. And he stood, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation. I'm jump backing up over here and just reading in verse 6. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Oh boy, hallelujah. See, when you face a difficulty, you need to start saying, oh God, art you not God in the heaven? And look at this here. Look at what it says in the same verse. It says, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? When they say you can't, is not my God able? Yes. Oh, yes. Verse 6, 7. Art not thou our God? Oh, yes. He's my God. Who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. He's reminding God of His promises. And the people that are opposing, you gave us this land. And now they're trying to take it from us. Let me ask you. All that Christ won for us, it's no different. When God says your needs are met, and Christ has healed you. And some inhabitant is trying to make it look otherwise. You need to remind God, just like they did here, like Jehoshaphat did. You need to remind him, oh Lord God, I'm a tither. I bring my tithe into the storehouse. And you said, you'd open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that I could hardly contain. And you said, you, not me, you would rebuke the devourer for my sake. See, I lived through this. I did. I lived through that. And I got it. You see, that's what I'm talking about. You need to remind God when the pressure's on, when it doesn't look like you're going to make it, but God and my trust in him and my boasting and my praise and thanksgiving begins to get him moving through what? My faith-filled words. My boasting of him. And so he goes on, and they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy holy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Oh yes, he sure will. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned not, they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us, see, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. See, they're trying to take from me what's mine. Oh, Lord God, look at this. This sickness in my body is trying to invade. You've healed me and delivered me. And it says, oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Oh, yes. And you continue. And then in verse 14, it says, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he began to prophesy what they were supposed to do. And they did. And it says in verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. See, this is worship right here. This is worship. He bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And this goes on here, and we'll go down. It says in verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out, where? Before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, in that verse 21, and it says, and that should praise. That is halal. That word right there used is halal. They're boasting on the Lord. They went out boasting in the beauty. And it says, the beauty of holiness is they went out before the army to say, praise That's yada. So they went out with hands lifted up, boasting on the Lord. Where? Before the army. Saying, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Now, turn over to Lamentations, if you would. Right after Jeremiah, Lamentations chapter 3. And I want you to look at this. This is a very interesting scripture here. Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 37, I want to start reading. Kind of hook up here with this. You need to mark this one in your Bible. This one's good. Lamentations 3, 37. I'm going to read from the King James. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Hello! Who is he? Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways. Turn again to the Lord. Now look at verse 41. Let us lift up our heart with our hands. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. So when we lift up our hands, it's as if we're lifting up our heart to God. Isn't that good? So, you know, if you're skittish about lifting up your hands, the question is that it shows what's in your heart. When you love God, when you want to give him your heart, you lift up your hands. You extend the hands. It says lifting up your hearts. What does it say? Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. The Bible in basic English, there's a couple of translations that say it similar but a little more expanded. It says, lifting up our hearts with our hands to God in the heavens. Now the Young's literal translation says, listen to this, we lift up our heart on the hands unto God in the heavens. We lift up our heart on the hands. On the hands. So when we lift up our hands, we're lifting up our heart unto God. And that begins, see, we praise and we halal and we shout and we boast. But then we begin to get over into thanksgiving. We lift up our hearts and God manifests himself, and then it becomes worship. And we begin to bow before our Maker. And it's something that has even added a little bit more insight for me as to why we lift our hands. It's as if we're lifting our hearts to God. I hope that's insightful to you. Another word, todah. It's the same thing. It's the extension of the hands, adoration, acceptance. And let's turn over to Psalm 69, back up to Psalm 69. I think we read this in a previous lesson, but it fits here. Psalm 69:30. There's so many scriptures that reference all these. We're just going to highlight a few today. Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise, that's halal, hallelujah, boasting. I will praise or boast in the name of God with a song. That's what we do here. We boast on the name of the Lord with song. And will magnify him with thanksgiving. That's toda. That's the lifting of the hands. That's what that is. And will magnify him with thanksgiving. Now, verse 31. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. So when we begin, see, we boast, but then see here it says, and then we'll magnify him with thanksgiving. Well, if we're lifting up the hands and we're lifting up our heart, we're magnifying him. Where is that coming from? The heart. See, and what's coming out of our heart, we're magnifying him by the lifting up of our hands. So you can't gripe and complain and be lifting up your hands at the same time. You can't do that. That's not possible. You can't focus on the two. Psalm 50, verse 23. Back up a little bit. Psalm 50. And verse 23, familiar scripture. See, it says here, and again, this word for praise is toda. It's, again, it's the lifting up of the hands, which is really the lifting up of our hearts to God. It says, whoso offereth praise, toda, whoso offereth the lifting up of our hands, whoso offereth praise does what? Glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. So when it says when we offer praise, when we offer the extended hand, it glorifies him. It glorifies him. Psalm 95. These are just a few here. You can look up the rest if you so desire. Psalm 95 and verse 2. I'll start reading in verse 1. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with toda, with the lifting of the hands, with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. And a familiar, just you can move over to Psalm 100, familiar. Now, if you look at right on, or if you're in your Bible, if you look at mine has a little mark next to the words, a psalm of praise. And mine has a little numeral against it. And if you look in the margin, it says a psalm of thanksgiving. And if you look that up, it's a psalm of toda. It's a psalm of lifting the hands and the heart. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what? Singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with toda, with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That means with the hands lifted up. That's what that means. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful. That's yada. Again, same thing. It's lifting up of the hands unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Now, just for a few minutes here, One thing we were sharing on Wednesday, and I think I'm going to pick up, maybe I'll pick up on Wednesday, is on the subject of worship. In the New Testament, these are words that are used throughout the Psalms. Halal, Todah, Yada, there's a few others. Those primarily mean boasting on the Lord and lifting up of the hands. In the New Testament, we referenced a word that's eucharisteo. And that particular word means to give thanks and be thankful. And one of the things that we were sharing on Wednesday in this particular scripture, in Hebrews 13:15, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks." Giving thanks to his name. And that word, thanks, is homologeo. Now, that word has been used in other scriptures regarding confession and speaking. But also, one of the definitions that's used is to praise and to celebrate. And one of the things that this is sharing here is that the fruit of our lips, giving thanks or praise or celebration to his name. And that is, it says, we are to offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually, which is what we're reading in Psalm 34. We're to praise him continually. But one of the things that I was looking at and meditating on was that we need to be thankful for what we have. And there's a couple of scriptures, you don't have to turn there, and I'll pick up Wednesday, but this is something that when we are thankful, I was sitting in my office, was talking with Dolores Flood, and when she left, I heard this in my spirit. Ungrateful people are never grateful. Oh, is that, did I? Thank you for reminding me. Okay. I said, ungrateful people are never grateful. It's never enough. Never. It's never enough. And you know why? Because they have an ungrateful heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Ungratefulness is wanting what you don't have. I want that. I'm ungrateful. You know, sometimes the thing that's, and I just wrote down, this stems from jealousy, covetousness, greed. And there's some other scriptures I'm going to point out real quick, but turn over to Psalm 103. See? You won't be thankful for those things that you forget. Those things that you forget about, you're not thankful of. God has already provided some things. And when you go, oh yeah, okay, uh-huh, right. You're not thankful. Go to Psalm 103. Look at the first two verses. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Now look at verse 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not." Forget not. Forget not. Some of his benefits. All of his benefits. We're not to forget all his benefits. Now there's a real self-examination right there. Because he said, forget not. And we got people that are griping because they ain't got stuff. And I said, you ought not gripe, because we read in another scripture verse that we shared from another translation in Psalm, Proverbs 15:4. You can write it down. Proverbs 15:4. This is from the Living Letters Epistles version. Gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement. Griping brings discouragement. So when you start griping, you get over into discouragement, and then discouragement can bring one over into depression. I've been there. How did I get there? Griping. Unthankful. Not remembering. Forgetting some of his benefits. And when you forget, you get over into that. Man, we ain't got this. Man, it's so hard. I don't know why. Man, God, I wish I had. Why you send me here? Why am I working on this job? Man, I wish I'd go back to Egypt. Unthankful. Unthankful. Why am I living in this place? This dump. I don't like it. I don't like it here. Unthankful. Forgetting, when you see these stories today, people who are willing to go out into the bush, lay their life on the line, and sit there and well up saying, God has put this big love in my heart for people who do bad things. Thankful for a relationship with God. Thankful. Thankful. And see, we need to not be unthankful, but remember his benefits and remind God, oh, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. You delivered me out of this. This is easy for you to deliver me out of this. Oh, yeah. I'm coming out of this. Yes, sir. You met my need over here. Easy. You're meeting my need over here. You healed me of this. Oh, this is easy. I'm coming out of this. Oh, yeah. Coming out. Thankful. Thankful. Forgetting not his benefits. Because if you don't, you get over looking at the problem. And that's all you do. Oh, boy, the devil loves that. Let me read this scripture verse to you and we'll close. 2 Timothy 3:1. Well, it's actually a few scriptures. But, I mean, a few verses, not a few scriptures, a few verses. 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. I didn't say that. That's in the scripture. Unthankful. Unthankful. Those that don't remember their covenant. Unholy. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Let me read this in the New International. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, and in the NIV it says ungrateful. Ungrateful. See? Ungrateful. You can just turn on the news. I want to name any institution or some, because I don't want to get I don't want to have somebody bristle if I name something and go, well, pff, E. But there are institutions that are ungrateful. People that are ungrateful, making millions of dollars. They want more. Ungrateful. I want more. I want more. I want more. They want to now own the owners. Ungrateful. It's not funny. It's a sign of what's in the scripture right here. And it says what? The last days. That's what we're living in here. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Now, just so that somebody might say, because somebody might say, well, I thought we're supposed to go into the world and preach the gospel. You are. And you are to extend the gospel even to them. But when it says have nothing to do with them, blessed is the man that walketh not. You don't walk with them. You don't embrace the lifestyles and the thinking. You don't walk with them. But you preach to them. You extend, because we're to go in to preach the gospel to everybody. We just don't walk with them. Because as we saw in that video, bad people have souls and need to be reached also. And without the hearing of the gospel, some will be lost. So they need to hear the gospel. We just don't need to walk with them. But my point was ungrateful. And we need not be ungrateful and forget not the benefits that Christ died for, that gained victory for us and gave them to us. Oh boy, this great God that we have. Loving God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to close. I'll take a few questions.